Beloved congregation, with the help of the Lord, I will preach the word of God to you this morning from the scripture part that we have been reading from Matthew 26. And we read as the text verse for the sermon, verse 74. Matthew 26, verse 74, where we read, "Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew." The theme of the sermon is the denial. 3 points of attention: the fall of Peter, second point, the cause, and the third point, the outcome. The theme is the denial. 3 points: the fall of Peter, the cause, and the outcome. When I was a boy, congregation, I read a book about an old sailor who had one son. And when the boy was young, he joined his father when he was doing his work sailing to earn a living. And there was a very close tie between the father and the son, only one son. But then the boy grew up, and his father tried hard to save some money so that his son could have a better situation, that he could do some studying. And so the boy, he went to the city, and there he was studying at a university. And one day his father, he was in that city with his boat, his ship, and he thought, well, let me visit my son. And he took his employee, and there they went together, and he tried to find him, but he was not home. When they returned, they came along a certain place where people entertained themselves, and then the door opened, and there's a couple of young people came out of that place, and there he saw his son. He had brought a small packet with some sweeties, some things that the boy liked when he was young. And there he stood, the old man, his poor clothes, beside the door. And his son came out, and they were laughing, and they were glad and had some joy, you know. And then all of a sudden, the son saw his father standing there. And he saw him standing with that packet to give it to his son and his poor clothes. And the moment he saw him, he turned his head to the other side. And he just talked to his friends and his fellow students, and they walked on. And the employee, he became so angry. He knew how much his father loved him and had worked to get him some money to study. He wanted to beat him, but his father kept him back, said no. Maybe we can understand what this father felt in his heart, isn't it? How his heart was pierced by his son. He just made if he didn't know his father. He was ashamed for his poor old father in his simple clothes, a hard-working sailor. Yeah, later on the boy, he became ill and he came home. The Lord worked in his heart. But then, you know, what a pain was there in the heart of the father to be denied by your son. It was a sharp thorn to the Lord Jesus Christ that Judas betrayed him, wasn't it? His disciple that was with him for 3 years. And he betrayed his master with a kiss. Now Peter denied the Lord Jesus. Oh, what a suffering the Lord has suffered. He had warned his disciples in that same night. He had warned them that they all would be offended because of me this night. They couldn't understand it. They offended because of the Lord Jesus Christ? No, that sounds impossible. But it is what happened. And it was prophesied by Scripture. Because it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. Here he prophesies his resurrection, and they also forgot that. And Peter answered and said unto him, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. That's what Peter said. He said this could happen to everybody. All men could do that, not me. Now we see Peter in danger. That's what we think. He didn't accept the warning of the Lord Jesus. But he thought, this is impossible. I will never do that. Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Three times. Before the cock is crowing. And Peter said unto him, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples. Maybe you recognize it. That it can be that you experience the love of the Lord in your heart so strong that you think, I will not sin anymore. No, I will not do it again. You think, well, the Lord is so good and so near, I experience that. Now I'm strong enough to resist sin, to stand against it, to fight it. Then we have to learn the lesson that we cannot in our own strength. Peter had to learn this deep lesson. Oh, to be useful in the hands of the Lord. Pride is such a hindrance for being able to serve in the kingdom of God. Now the Lord, he is suffering because Peter will deny him. But Peter, he is taught a very deep lesson in these nights. It was not only Peter that left the Lord. All the disciples left him. They had been with the Lord Jesus Christ for 3 years. They had seen his works, heard his words, and they would all run away, flee from him in that same night. There's a lesson for us. That is possible. That we have received so many blessings of the Lord. So many of the teaching of the Lord. How many times did you receive the preaching of the word? How many times did the Lord bless it to your heart? Now it is still possible that there will be a day that we will deny him. Oh yeah. That is how we are. This is the lesson. That we never will be proud and think that we are strong enough to resist the snares of Satan. We should always watch and be aware of our weakness and how much we need the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was such a dark night. There was so much of the power of the darkness and of Satan. Yeah, maybe you still say, I cannot understand why the disciples ran away from Christ, fled from him, left him alone. It was a night of darkness. It was a night of confusion to them. They didn't understand what happened. The Lord Jesus, who was so powerful and so good, who had done so many miracles, he allowed them to bind him and to take him. And he didn't show his power. And they didn't understand. And the Lord says that they would be offended. Did we see that word? They would be offended. So what was the deep reason that they fled? It was because they were offended. It was not only fear, but it was the offense in the fact that the Lord Jesus was caught and allowed it. Is this the Messiah? Is this the Son of God? Is this the way of salvation? Is this the way that we can be saved? That we can receive redemption? They didn't understand. They couldn't accept it. And then they just left it. And they ran away from him. They fled. And maybe you can understand, if you have experienced those times in your life, that the Lord brought you in such a dark night, a night of the darkness of Satan, that he was able to show so much power in your life, or in the church, or in society, and that you do not understand, and that you cannot accept it. Why is the Lord allowing this? How many people have experienced those dark nights? And how many did turn their back to the church and to the Lord? If this is the way of God, if this is the service of God, well then, I'm going. I do not like it this way. I cannot accept this. And there is the offense in the heart. And I think we all know these times in our lives. All children of God have those dark nights in their life. And these nights are so difficult, so making you ashamed about whom you are. Like all the disciples will have been ashamed about thinking about this night, especially Peter, these nights of darkness. But there are such deep lessons in these nights of darkness. The Lord is healing in these nights of darkness our natural pride. I mean, he is bringing that down. He is breaking our pride. And that needs to happen. Those nights of darkness, offense. Lord, this is not good. This cannot be the right way. No, I do not understand it. And I cannot accept it. And that you turn your back, and later you are ashamed, and you start to see whom you are in yourself, and how good and gracious the Lord is. Peter, all the disciples, they were offended. They didn't want it. This is unacceptable, to have such a master, to serve the Lord in this way. No. So, if you experience that, it's not a strange thing. It's because of our pride that there's a need of this, that the Lord has to teach us in such a way, in such dark nights, whom we are. But the other side is that there's such an encouragement in this history that we see that Peter, who denied the Lord, became one of the most useful preachers and apostles in the service of the Lord. He wrote his letters inspired by the Holy Spirit. So if there is someone this morning who is in such a dark night, and Satan is attacking you and telling you that it is impossible that you would ever be useful in the hands of the Lord. Now look what happened to Peter. How the Lord used him afterwards. And how useful this lesson was. That shameful night was a useful night to Peter. But it was a sharp thorn to the Lord. We shouldn't forget that. Oh, that the Lord will keep us back to deny Him. How many times did you do that in your life, deny the Lord? Because of offense? Or because of being ashamed? How many times were there that you denied that you know the Lord Jesus? So today, we have to be aware that we are not better anyway, that we are not better than Peter. We do not better. How many days we kept silent where we should have spoken about the Lord Jesus? Because we were afraid, because we had offense in our hearts, we didn't understand and like the way of the Lord in our lives. Is there anybody here who thinks that this couldn't happen to you? And well, no, no, I'm so faithful that I will never do that. Then you are like Peter before it happened in his life. So then this history is a warning to you. You are in great danger. If you think this cannot happen to me, I will not do that. That's what Peter thought, and then it happened. Yeah, Peter, he fled, but he couldn't stay away from the Lord. That's the secret. If you have experienced the goodness of Christ, the love of Christ, the power of grace in your heart, there is such a tie, there is such a love that you cannot live without Christ. And that's why he afterwards started to follow. To the place where Christ was. Where was Christ? Christ was standing there before the high priest. And that's how it had to happen. Like we see, well, like we read in the books of Moses, that on the Day of Atonement, the high priest was laying his hands on the sheep goat to put the sin and the guilt of the people upon that sheep goat. Now there is Christ, the Lamb of God, great sheep goat, standing before the high priest. And they are saying all sort of things that against him. And then the time is coming that the high priest says, well, what do you think? Isn't he guilty? He has spoken blasphemy. And so he declared him to be guilty. And in that way, the guilt of his people was put upon him. We have a life from nature that is blaspheming God, isn't it? And now that sin of me is taken by the Lord and put upon the Lord Jesus Christ. There Christ is standing in front of the high priest. The guilt of his people is put upon him, so that we could be free. Oh, what a wonderful thing to see him standing there, keeping his peace, silent. He could have defended himself. He was guiltless. He accepted that the high priest put a guilt upon him, that he had blasphemed God. He hadn't, but he was made sin for me. And Peter is coming While Jesus there and entering that place, standing there with the soldiers, probably warming himself with a fire, at a near fire, and there it happens. And there's a maiden servant, a girl coming, saying, "Were you not with that man? You are also from Galilee." And he denies. Why did he do that? Oh, there's such a danger, maybe more danger even in those remarks made, by the way, unexpected. He said, "No, I'm not." And then he denies the Lord Jesus. And he continues in that way. He is doing it 3 times, doing it by cursing and swearing. Is that possible? Child of God, cursing, swearing. It's written here. That's how our hearts are. Under certain circumstances, in certain situations, it can come out what is inside. And we confess it. We say it, that all seed of sin is in our hearts. But now to see it come out here in the life of Peter. And if it could happen to Peter, it can happen to me. We should be humble. We should be aware that we are so weak, that we are so inclined to sin, our flesh so sinful, that we will never think this sin I would never do. Because under certain circumstances, in certain situations, we will be able to do it. What do you think about David, the man according to the heart of God, who had experienced so many times that the Lord helped him? And then adultery, and then even killing a man, a guiltless man, David, man of God. So there is no reason to think that we are better. We are not. And we are in a great danger if we think we are. Because then we do not watch. When Peter said, "I will never do that," he said, "I'm strong." And that's the opposite of what Paul said. Paul said, "When I'm weak, then I'm mighty." And that's the speaking, that are the words of faith. That you see, oh, when I'm aware of my own weakness, then I depend on the Lord. And then His power will be in my life, His mighty protection, so that this will not be done by me. Peter, he denied his master. But he denied before them all, saying, "I know not what thou sayest." There is Jesus. They spit in his face. Peter is watching it. He sat without in the palace, and the damsel came unto him, saying, "Thou also was with Jesus of Galilee." But he denied before them all, saying, "I know not what thou sayest." And when he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him and said unto them that were there, "This fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth." Again he denied with an oath, "I do not know the man." And after a while came unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, "Surely thou also art one of them, for thy speech bewrayeth thee." Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not a man. And immediately the cock crew, and he remembers what the Lord Jesus had said. Then he saw his sin. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. The fall of Peter. How could it ever happen that such a hero of faith would fall? Wasn't it Peter who had said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God? So now we come to the cause. What is the cause? Why did it happen? How is it possible? The first thing that we see is that he didn't listen to the warnings of the Lord Jesus. So when a tree is falling, when we see that happening outside, it can be all at a sudden that we see a tree is falling down with a big sound. Oh, wow, that was unexpected. He didn't see anything, and then all at once that tree was falling. But there had been a decay inside. So with Peter, there was a process before he came to deny the Lord. It can happen in the church that we see someone, a pastor, falling in sin. Wow, that was all at a sudden. How is it possible? You can be so confused about it. But usually there is a decay inside. There is a process before that tree is falling. It was a long time. That's decay inside. So Peter, he didn't listen to the warning of the Lord Jesus. That's the first thing that we see in his life. When we are thinking about how this could happen, the cause. So we are warned this morning. And do we listen to the warnings of the Lord? The Lord is warning us. When we think that we are strong enough, we are in danger. When we think that we can resist the temptation of sin, of Satan, we are in danger. Peter, he thought he was strong enough. He didn't listen to the warning. There's another thing. When the Lord was in Gethsemane, praying, what happened to Peter? Peter and the other disciples, they slept. The Lord says, you should pray because the flesh is weak. Watch and pray. And he slept. So there was an indolence, a spiritual laziness. That's the second thing. Instead of continuing in prayer, slept. Not listening to the warnings. Not continuing in prayer. There was a decay in the life of Peter. And then, when they came to catch the Lord Jesus, to bind him, there was the offense in his heart. He couldn't accept it. Not accepting the way of the Lord, how dark the night is. And then not to stay near to the Lord, but run away from the Lord. There's a distance between the Lord and you. More and more, you are in danger. Not listening to warnings. Not continuing to prayer. Offense in your heart. Not staying near to the Lord. Yeah, and then when he followed, then that unexpected remark, just a girl, a damsel. And then it happened, all at a sudden, we would say. But it was a process. insights in the heart of Peter that made this hero of faith to fall. How many things had Peter seen? He had seen the miracles the Lord Jesus Christ and the other disciples had. He had been on that mountain and seen the glory of the Lord, experienced the joy of the bright shining light that was there. He had made that confession, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Yeah. And now he's standing there. And we also have to say he is in a dangerous place. He's standing with the enemies of Christ, isn't he? So, if you want to be with the Lord, it would have been better to stand there openly at the sight of the Lord. Young people, I want to say something also to the older ones, but when you start a new study, you know, or you start a new job, it will be very good to be clear right from the beginning where you are standing, what you believe, what you are standing for, that you are a Christian, that you pray for your meals, your food, that you do not want to join others in sinful places. Oh, yeah, that can be so much a protection for you afterwards. When you make it very clear from the beginning that you want to obey the Lord, you make it easier for yourself. It can be difficult that first time, that first period, but it will be so helpful afterwards. And it's so dangerous to hide away among the enemies of Christ like Peter did with the soldiers standing there far away. Not so far that he could see Christ, but far enough that he was among the enemies of Christ. And he didn't want them to know whom he was. That's dangerous. Then there's the temptation to behave like they do in their sinful ways. So Peter went in a dangerous place. Place among the enemies of Christ. I read a story that said you can enter a mine with white clothes, can you not? You can enter a coal mine with white clothes, but you cannot leave it with white clothes. Yeah, you can go to a sinful place, but how will you leave that place? Peter was standing there on the dangerous spot, and then all at a sudden, he was one with them. He behaved the same. He turned against himself, against the Lord Jesus. He spoke against him. He behaved like an enemy of Jesus. "I do not know that man of Galilee." And swearing, cursing. Yeah, it's such a blessing if we receive the boldness to give a clear testimony wherever we are. And do you know the joy in your heart when you did it? Do you know the joy in your heart when you gave a clear testimony about the Lord Jesus? It's giving such a joy in your heart. Even when people can watch in an angry way or even despise you, if you give that testimony, oh, the Lord can give you so much joy in your heart that you do not bother about the way they think about you. That's even not important, how they think about you. It's how the Lord is thinking about me. That's the important thing. His glory, and not my glory. Oh, that we would watch, and that we would stay near to Christ, to live a life of confessing his name, He is so worthy. He is so worthy that we confess his name. See you? You see him standing there? They spit in his face. They beat him. They scorn him, despise him, and mock him. And he was willing to take it. And he took it because I sinned against him. I deserve it. Would I bother about people mocking me, despising me because I confess the name of my blessed Savior? That would be a shame. If I would bother about that, what people think about me when I confess the name of the Lord Jesus. He was willing to be spit in his face, to be beaten, to be dishonored, to be seen as the most guilty one, as the one who blasphemed God. And I did, with all my sins. So it's a joy for me to confess his name, even when people mock, maybe more when people mock, when you confess, when people despise you. We read in the book of Acts that the apostles were joyful when they were beaten, that they were allowed to suffer for the name of the Lord Jesus. It remembered them about what Christ was suffering for their sins. Do you understand that? Oh, Peter, he was in the snare of Satan. He couldn't turn. If you know that unexpected remark, didn't you belong to him? Oh, no. And then the second time he couldn't return, he thought he could. He didn't. And the third time, and he made it worse and worse, and that's how it happens. When we sin, we continue. And at the end, he cursed, and he was swearing. Oh, that we would turn. Even if you are in a situation that you were not honest from the beginning, not confessing the name of the Lord, there's a day to start to do it today, tomorrow. Better to turn halfway than to continue and make it worse and worse with enemies of Christ. Yeah, the cause. And now the outcome. What happened afterwards? We remember Judas. He betrayed the Lord. And afterwards he saw his sin. And then he went to the temple and he took the money and he threw it. The money that he loved so much. It was like burning in his pocket. He couldn't keep it. That's how things can change. It can be a time that you think, well, sin is the most nice thing, the thing that I desire most. But oh, I pray that the Lord will change your heart before it is too late. And that he, do you believe that, that he is able to change your heart in such a way that that sin, that can be such a strong temptation to you, that the Lord can open your eyes and make you see how terrible it is and how awful it is to sin against God, and that you start to hate it, to loathe yourself because of it. Yeah, Judas, and he was desperate. He didn't come to the Lord, but he went his own way. But Peter, he was kept from being desperate. Why? What was the reason? Because the Lord Jesus prayed for him. Oh, we need the prayer of the Lord. We do not have the strength to rise from sin ourselves. But that praying high priest in heaven, that's all the difference for me. You know that. Peter, he denied the Lord. Then he began to curse and to swear, saying, "I know not the man." And immediately the cock crew. And something else happened. It's not written in the Gospel to Matthew. It's written in the Gospel to Luke. You know that, children? What happened? When the Lord Jesus, when Peter denied the Lord Jesus, then the Lord Jesus turned and watched Peter. He saw the eyes of the Lord Jesus looking at him. And that's such a strong thing. If you see the love of Christ, he must have seen it. Yeah. It's making the difference. Christ prayed for him. Satan wanted to destroy Peter. Christ prayed for him. But here Peter is seeing the way the Lord is looking at him. It reminds him also about the warnings. But when Peter says, "I do not know the man," then Christ is looking at him as if he said, "But I know you, Peter. I know you." So to be saved, it is not our love to Christ, but it is the love of Christ to me, a poor sinner. And when I deny him, it's not my faithfulness that I am saved, but it is his faithfulness that I will enter heaven one day. Because Christ is faithful. And when Peter denied that he knew that man, the Lord Jesus looked at him as if he said, "But I know you. I have known you from all eternity, Peter, before you ever could know me." Oh, how safe is Peter. He brought himself in a big danger, a great danger. But the faithfulness of the Lord, that is such a protection, an eternal protection. And he went out, the eyes of the Lord, and the sound of the cock. Oh, it reminded him. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said unto him, "Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice." And he went out and wept bitterly. He wept. What can we learn from that? What is it teaching us? Sin is terrible. It's making you so sad. It's giving such a sadness, so much sorrow in this world because of sin. Not because of that the Lord wouldn't be good. Oh no, let's never think that. He is good. Because of our sin, all the sorrow in this world. Yeah, sin is a terrible thing. I hope that you are not deceived by sin. I remember when I was a boy, there was a time that there were certain sins I was doing. And I thought, well, they feel good. And how can a thing that feels so good be wrong? Yeah, that can. That is really what happens in this world. Sin can give you a good feeling, can give you pleasure for a time. But at the end, it is so bitter. It will destroy you. It is a sad result coming out of sin. I hope you see that. We are living in a difficult time also. In the church, as I've seen that in the Netherlands, that more and more people are inclined, are ready to think, well, if it feels good, it is good. And that's not true. Then you deceive yourself. Now, if it is according to the word, then it is good. how people start to serve the Lord in such a way that it makes them feeling good. And they like the preaching where they are flattered, you know, where they are not remembered to sin so much, when they do not hear whom they are in themselves, how guilty and how corrupt their hearts are. They like those sermons. It feels good. You feel encouraged because they say, well, you are doing well. You can make it. Instead, they point to the Lord Jesus and say, oh, you cannot. But he has done it. What a difference, isn't it? How many are deceived because they like the good feeling. But the end will be so bitter. If they trust in themselves, if they are not cut off from their own strengths and their own righteousness that they imagine that they have, then at the end it will be so bitter. It's so good if you know this weeping of Peter. It's not a good feeling to see your sin. He saw his sin and he wept bitterly. And I hope you know something of this weeping. And there should be something in preaching that will make you feel sad about whom you are, what you did against God. And at the other side, there should be the grace that gives you the deep joy. Those two belong together. You know something of that weeping of Peter? You know something of your misery, your guilt against God? I'm not saying that you have to use that as a payment to make yourself worthy to receive grace. No. I'm not saying that you are fulfilling a condition by weeping so that now you are acceptable for the Lord. No. But that's the way that the Lord is teaching and guiding sinful men so that they will come to Christ. And I'm not speaking about the measure. I'm not telling how deep and how much you have to feel it. Let me tell you how much. You should see so much of your sin that you cannot stay away from Christ. That's enough. That you come to Christ. And maybe for the one that will be more, and for the other it will be less. The one is having more resistance inside, is a harder heart, went further away from Christ. The Lord knows. Maybe you say, you have to learn your sins, yeah. But the Lord is showing so much that people will come. And afterwards, he will continue to teach whom you are. You cannot see everything in this life from your sin. It's too much. You can certainly see not everything from your sin right at the beginning when the Lord is working in your heart. But there should be so much that you cannot stay away from Christ. Just kneel down, cry out for grace. And he will hear your voice, children, young people. He certainly will. He has promised that in his word. He heard Peter weeping. Yes. And Peter was the first one who received the message of resurrection. To whom the Lord came after his resurrection. He's mentioned especially after the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. So the Lord knows about what happens in the heart of Peter. And he is so faithful. He will come to show grace to this man that made him suffer so deeper, by his denial, made him to experience like a sword piercing his heart. Oh yeah, but there is grace for Peter. Maybe there's someone who says, well, okay, if this is the case, then it's not too bad to sin like Peter did, like David did. You can enjoy sin and even enter heaven. You can enjoy sin for a season. Yeah. Oh, what a snare of Satan, if you think that. The first thing is you don't know when you have to die. If you would die in your sin, you would be lost for eternity. The second thing is, don't you see what came out of that sin in the life of David? He was forgiven when he confessed. But what did he have to experience afterwards? In his family, the Lord said, the sword shall be there, your family, and it happened. And don't you see what happens to Peter? What a bitter night he had. He wept bitterly. And oh, all these days afterwards, how dark Peter made it for himself. Do you really think that that moment of pleasure of sin is worth that? Oh, no. No, certainly not. Sin can never satisfy your heart. Do you love the world? Do you love sin? Did you make that choice in your heart? Well, I go to church, but you know, when I'm old enough, I turn my back to church, I go to the world. Know what you do. Know what you do. There is such a deep joy and peace in living with the Lord. Oh yes, it's true. You have to fight and resist sin. But to sin, it's making so dark in your life. Such a bitter result. Do you see it? Oh, I pray that the Lord will open your heart for it. Do you live a life without prayer? You are in danger. Do you have a lukewarm prayer? I read, a lukewarm prayer is like a sword that has lost its sharpness. It's like a gun without bullets. Oh, that we might have a living prayer. A prayer with expectation. To be kept from the snares of Satan, from the danger of falling in a sin like Peter did. To be kept from having to experience this bitter sadness. And he wept bitterly. Yeah. Peter. Oh, he was proud when he said, well, they could all be offended. But not me. I'm willing to die. I'm willing to die. They didn't see his own weakness. But then he learned his lesson. Afterwards, he's writing about it in his letters. In the first letter of Peter, in chapter 5, he's warning. He says, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another. And then it comes, be clothed with humility. Be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. That's the lesson that he had to learn. Yeah, and here he's humbling himself. He wept bitterly. God gave him grace. It took some time before he was restored. Yeah. before he was restored, the Lord Jesus came to him and asked him that question 3 times. Do you love me? Love me more than these? It took some time. Sin can be done fast, in short time. But to come back, to be restored, to come out of that dark, dirty mind, to be washed, cleansed, to experience that peace in your heart again, it can take some time before it comes back. But the Lord is so faithful, He's looking for those that have fallen. Is there someone here? There was a mother in London in the United Kingdom, and her daughter walked away, ran away from home. Oh, and she was so sad about that. How could she find her daughter in that big city? But she went to seek for her daughter. She couldn't find her daughter. What she did, and that's how love is, she made a picture, a very big one of herself, and wrote big capital letters under it. Mary, mother loves you. And everywhere in the city, she sticked it to the walls, and that picture, Mary, mother loves you. And that brought her daughter home. Now the love of Christ is proclaimed to you. Will it bring you home to the Lord for the first time or again? Amen. Let us pray together. O Lord Almighty God, we come to Thee. We thank Thee for Thy word. Lord, forgive us. So many times we deny Thee. Bless Thy word to our hearts and souls. Keep us from sin. Protect us, O Lord, that we may see the love of Christ to be brought home to Him. Oh, that we may see how terrible sin is, so that we may know something of that weeping about it in our hearts, but also the deep joy. Thou art coming to us to restore us. Lord, bless Thy word. Forgive everything that was not according to Thine holy will. Be with us in the catechism classes and Sunday school classes. Help us to teach, to receive the teaching. Bless the children, the young people. Oh, that the seeds of the word might be a seed of regeneration. Lord, that we may see our need of Christ, that we are created for a never-ending eternity, O Lord, and where will we be? In eternal darkness or in eternal light? Oh, that we may come today, which is a day of grace, to be saved by the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus. Lord, we thank Thee. Thou art worthy to receive all the glory in all eternity. Forgive us. Hear us for Christ's sake. Amen. Well, I forgot.